Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. And Jesus was telling a story. I want to give you the backstory to this. He was actually talking, he gave many, many parables. And by the way, hello to all of you at home. We're glad that you've tuned in with us today. Thank you for being here. But Jesus was actually, he was talking to the people. He actually told several parables. He used several parables to explain something called the kingdom of heaven. He was trying to give them an understanding of really why he had come. You know, we have a tendency, I think, as New Testament Christians, we look back and we think, well, Jesus came to die on a cross to save us from our sins. He did that, but that's not why he came. When he came, he had one very simple message to all, and his message was primarily to the Jewish people. He came to Israel, to the people of Israel, and he spoke to them. And his message was very simple. He said, here's the message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, he said, look, I want you to repent because I have something for you, and it's called the kingdom of heaven. And so he gave this parable among many of them. Here's what he said. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. Now, that's a little odd. You know, the first of all, I think we look at that and we say, well, what was the man doing in somebody else's field? Right? Digging, finding this treasure. But there's actually an explanation for that. Which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he went out and sold everything he had, and he bought that field. See, in order to get the treasure, he had to first buy the field. So this story is one that Jesus told with several others to try to illustrate this concept called the kingdom of heaven. And what the kingdom of heaven is, it was literally an earthly kingdom where everything was right. That's what he came to offer. He came to say, listen, I want to come, if you will allow me to be your, if you receive me as your Messiah. He's talking to the Jewish people now. He said, if you receive me as your Messiah, I will then become your king. And as your king, I will make everything right in this nation. It will be a righteous nation once again. It will be a pure nation once again. It will be a peaceful nation once again. Now, the thing is, God has always had a plan. His plan was always to begin with Israel in that very thing. And then Israel would take that to the rest of the world. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This has been God's plan from the time of Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And when I make a great nation out of you, then you're going to be a blessing. Your descendants will be a blessing to the entire world. This was God's plan, was that he would make Israel right. He would make Israel righteous. He would make Israel fair. He would make Israel holy. And then they would take that to the rest of the world. And had God's people, had the Jewish people of that time received Jesus as their Savior, that's the world we would be living in today. That's what the kingdom of heaven was. That's what it was supposed to be. Now, so God's plan was to bless the Jewish people, and then they bless the rest of the world. So what is this parable? So when we look at this parable, there could be a lot of teaching that could be done, but in terms of God's plan, here's what Jesus was trying to teach. The field there that we're looking at, this treasure hidden in a field, the treasure is Israel. The treasure is God's people. And the field is this world in which we live, and the man who found it was Jesus. Now, when Jesus came, because man had so corrupted himself, the field technically belonged to whom? To Satan. He had jurisdiction over the world because man had voluntarily given up his righteousness and given it over to them. And according to that, so when Jesus came, so this treasure that God hid was actually the nation of Israel in this world. And Jesus came to find it and to purchase the field. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have to stay with me in the early part of this. I'll get very, very plain. In fact, I'm going to get probably more plain toward the end of this message than many of you will want me to. And those of you at home, I dare you to stay to the end. I double dog dare you. And so forth. So we have this parable about treasure being hidden in a field. And so as we think about this, so what is this sell all? So if Jesus is, he's looking at the nation of Israel as this treasure, God's treasure. In order for him to redeem it, he has to buy the field. So he goes and notice, and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, what was it exactly that Jesus gave up? Well, I think oftentimes we think, well, he gave up his life. No, that came later. What he gave up was heaven. See, remember, Jesus came because when Jesus came to earth, he came from heaven, yes? In other words, he gave up a throne in heaven for a throne on the earth. Now, can I ask you a question? Was that a good deal for him? No, not at all. Can you imagine leaving heaven, leaving the glory? Even Jesus in his prayer to his Father later on, a few chapters later, as we read, he was talking to God and he said, God, I remember the glory that we had with one another. Can you imagine leaving a place of perfection and righteousness where there's no unkindness, there's no violence, there's nothing unholy in any way, and come to a place that's exactly the opposite? You give up a throne there for a throne here. And in fact, we know he didn't even get that throne here at that time. But the point is, that's what he left. So when he gave up everything, he came because he had to give all of that up in order to come here and redeem this earth. Now, here's the big question I think that we want to ask. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? In fact, here's the question I want to ask. Why would God bury his treasure here? Why would God take the most valuable thing to him, which happened to be the nation of Israel? Why would he put it here? Why would he leave it here on earth? And I would say to you this morning, it's because God knows a universal truth. God created a universal truth that even he submits himself to. In other words, the truth I'm about to show you, it's very, very simple in Scripture. It's very, very clear. But God said, this is how important I believe this truth is. It even applies to him. And here's what that principle is. Give me the next verse here. He said, here's what I want you to understand. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, what he's saying there, he's saying, where your treasure is, your heart will go there. See, we get this backwards in our world, don't we? We have this, the world has this backwards. The world thinks, our world, and honestly, most of us, we use expressions that are very foolish, things like, well, follow your heart. Have you ever heard that? Well, just follow your heart. You know the Bible says your heart's a liar? It's a really bad, bad thing to follow. Following our heart, our emotions. He said, look, here's what we think. We think, whatever I love, that's what I'm going to invest in. That's what we think. Well, I love my wife, so I'm going to invest in my wife. Well, wait, what happens when you stop loving her? I said, I'm going to get plain here. Listen, I'm serious. You know how many times I've heard in counseling where a husband and wife, one of them will say to me, well, you know, Pastor, I just don't think that I love her anymore. I just don't think I love him anymore. So that's why I stopped investing in my marriage. No, sir. You stopped investing in your marriage, and that's why you don't love her anymore. No, ma'am. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You invest, what you invest in, that's what you learn to love. This is what God's trying to, this is what he's trying to teach us. We learn to love what we put our treasure in. This is the principle that he's trying to teach us. He said, look, you will learn to love what you... I don't know what you're saying to him, but I have a feeling that it's probably not the same point that I'm making. Well, they're sitting right in front of me. I mean, you know, and he's looking like, yeah, I know. And the bad part is she's right, probably. But here's the thing. We learn to love what we put our treasure in. We don't love something and then put our treasure into it. We learn to love what we put our treasure in, and then what we love becomes our treasure. I'll just kind of leave that there for a minute. And let me just kind of explain this principle. Because we do get this idea. We've been taught by this world. Well, what I love, that's what I'm going to invest in. I use the illustration of marriage. You know, well, I don't love my wife. You know, and sometimes I'll even hear something even more foolish. And look, and I told you, I'm just going to be real plain. I've had it up to here with couples that come in and say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you, I think I love him, but I'm just not in love anymore. Well, you got that from a Hallmark movie. And that Hallmark movie psychology has no place in church, no place in God's kingdom. I'm just telling you right now, that's garbage. You know, a couple weeks ago, we had Herman and Joanna sitting up here, and boy, weren't they a cute couple. Amen. I mean, we just fell in love with them, and they're sitting up here, and they're singing together, and Herman told you the story about how they met, and they met in church, and he walked up to her, and he said, hey, you want to get married? And she said, sure. A total lie. No, it's not. It's partly true, though. Listen, here's the thing. It's partly true, because what happens is when you make a decision to invest in something, that's where your heart goes. You know, you don't always, if you go your whole lives, married couples or boyfriends and girlfriends, if your idea is, well, as long as I'm in love, then we're going to make this work. No, you will make it work as long as you invest in that relationship. And you can learn to love what you invest in. God said, you say, well, I just don't think that's true in my life. Well, then you're calling God a liar, because that was the point he made so clearly. He said, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. You will learn to do that. Parents, you already know this is true. Every parent in the room knows this is true. You know, you did not wait until your child was born and you received that child and you say, oh, I love this child. I'm going to provide for this child. No, long before you ever saw that child, you were providing for that child, yes?
Amen, that's right.
You were, long before you met that child, you'd already bought the crib, you'd bought those, you know, this and that. You had invested yourself in that. By the time that child came along, you were already in love because you had invested so much treasure in that.
Amen, that's right.
Grandparents, you get that, right? There's not a grandparent in this room that when you heard you're going to be a grandma.
Woo-hoo.
When you heard you're going to be a great-grandma. Or great-great, or whatever it is. You started buying stuff, didn't you?
Amen.
You started investing in that child.
Yes.
And when that child came along, you were already in love, weren't you, AJ?
Yes.
And it didn't matter that they all looked like potatoes when they were born, did it? We were teasing about that Wednesday night. I've long held that. I've never seen a newborn baby that didn't look like a potato. Some of them look like a potato with hair. Some of them look like, you know, but they're all shaped like that. And they're all, you know, so, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you were already in love. Because you'd already put your treasure there. And this is what he's trying to teach us. God is trying to teach us that you don't love first and then invest in something. It doesn't work like that. That's why a lot of marriages fall apart. Because they thought, well, you know, I love this person. No, you like the way that person looked. And boy, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Okay? I mean, you know, rarely do we go after somebody we think is ugly. Okay? But it's true. It's true. But if that's what it started with, and it's not invested in, that's when marriages fall apart. That's when relationships fall apart. Because God said, no, you have to invest in something to truly fall in love with that thing. Now, how does that apply to this? And I wanted to get that point across, because now I need to say a couple of things about that. You see, so consider this. Back to the question of, why would God put his treasure here? Why would God put the people of Israel here? Why would God take his treasure? By the way, they are his treasure. He calls them the apple of his eye. We had that. I think I put that verse in there. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. Notice, God said, hey, Israel is the apple of my eye. You've heard that, expression? The world has no idea that's something that God said. But you know what it really means? It means God says, this is my most treasured possession, the apple of my eye. Now, why would God take his most precious treasure and keep it on this earth the way that the other nations of this world have treated Israel? Why would he do that? Why would God take his treasure and put it in, knowing that his people would be warred against, would be attacked, would be they would try to exterminate his. Do you know how many dozens of times the world has tried to exterminate the Jews? It's not just Hitler. He's just one of many, many, many. So why would God do that? And I'll tell you why God would do that. This is so important. Please don't miss this. God put his treasure here so that his heart would go here. Let that sink in a minute. God put his treasured, his most treasured possession here so that his heart would learn to follow that treasure. In other words, God put his heart here because otherwise, why would he not destroy the rest of humanity? You follow me? Look at, can anybody stand and give me one other reason why the rest of the world, why the world deserves God's mercy? Is there anybody here can give me one good reason why the rest of the world deserves God's mercy? There's not, right? Why would God have mercy on a world that shakes its fist at him every single day? Why would God have mercy on a world that gives him the finger, verbally, spiritually speaking, every single day? The world doesn't care. Look, why would God continue to spare America, which does the same thing? Are you with me? Can I ask you a question? Does America deserve God's mercy, yes or no?
No.
What have we done to deserve God's mercy? Look what we do to unborn children. Look at what we do to God's laws. Look, we tell God, you have no business in our schools. You have no business in our courtrooms. You have no business in any government offices. You know, we do all these things. Why would God withhold his judgment? I'll tell you why. Because he made a decision a long time ago to put his treasure here so that he could love the rest of the world. You and I, we're only here because God made a decision to put treasure here so that his heart would follow. He loves the world. Can I burst some bubbles here? Do you realize God does not love us because of us?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Tell me, what is so amazing about humanity that would cause God to love it because of its goodness? There isn't anything, right? But he said, no. There's a principle that I have made that I'm going to live by. I'm going to put my treasure all over this world in the form of God's people, in the form of the nation of Israel, and then in the form of the most important Jew that's ever lived, Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to put my treasure here so that I will continue to love this people. Are you with me? So God said, I want to love mankind, so I'm going to put my treasure there. Because God wanted to love this world, he wanted his heart to be with the whole world. The only way he could do that would be to send his most valuable treasure. Now, as I kind of transition, you know, God was only able to truly love us when he was willing to give Jesus to the world. Right? Boy, it's quiet in here now. I feel very lonely up here. Somebody go get Daniel. Bring him up here with me. God loves you, not because of you. This sounds harsh. Please, I know it sounds harsh. God loves me, not because of me. You know, God doesn't even forgive me because of me. What does Ephesians chapter 6 tell us? That God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me.
Yes, that's right.
Now, so God has placed his treasure here on this earth to force his heart to always stay here. Otherwise, he would simply wipe out mankind. So now here's the question. So we know why God put Israel here. We know why God sent Jesus here. So now can I ask you to consider, why did God keep you here? You know, do you ever think about when, and I was thinking about this earlier. So Israel is the apple of God's eye, as we see that verse. Israel is what is God's greatest treasure. God could have simply brought all of Israel back to heaven. He could have brought them all up to heaven, right? We're all looking for, look, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're looking forward to the day when he takes the church out of here, yes?
Amen.
And we long for that day, and we think that day's going to come. And by the way, Can I make the truth even more applicable then? So as long as as God's treasure is here, which by the way, we are part of God's treasure by extension because the Bible says we've been adopted into the family of God. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the day you trusted Jesus as your Savior, you joined the nation of Israel as part of the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
He said, I adopt you. The spirit of adoption, it talks about. This concept of Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8 about we're like a branch from a wild tree that's been grafted into a righteous tree. Right? You with me? So we're part of that. So why wouldn't God just take us all back to heaven as soon as we become part of the family of God? Why wouldn't He take us back there? I'll tell you why. Because God fell in love with us because there was treasure here in the people of Israel. And then we became part of His treasure. And that means that you and I are part of the reason God is sparing the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You consider this. You might be the reason God is sparing your family right now. You know, last week we had wasn't last Sunday just amazing, those of you that are here? John allowed us to tell his life story. We talked about his life story in song. We talked about it in testimony, and he shared with us the truth about his life. John was 70 years old before he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior right here in this church. And up until that point, he, by his own admission, he lived for himself. Do you know something? Can I ask you a question? Why did God allow you to go that long? Why didn't God just pronounce His judgment on you a long time ago? It could very well be because of you, Sherry. It might just be the fact that God said, I put some treasure close to you. And because I've got treasure, and by the way, you stood close to Him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You harassed Him.
Yes.
You stalked Him.
Yeah.
She wouldn't leave Him alone.
Gently.
God could never find Him without treasure next to Him. And so God's mercy stayed. God learned to love John because he had treasure close to it. And that could be that could apply to all you grandparents that are so worried about your grandkids. I know you are. I know you're worried about your grandkids. I know you're worried about the world they live in, and you should be. And I know it breaks your heart to think about the things they're being taught and the things they're being influenced by and the friends they have and the fact that they don't love God the way you love God and all those things. And I know, and I hurt for you, and I pray with you about them. But I want to just encourage you, stay close to them.
Amen.
Stay close to them.
Yes.
Because you're the treasure that might just be what is staying God's hand of judgment on them.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we here? Well, obviously we're here because we're part of His treasure. You know, one day God's going to remove His treasure from the world, yes?
Yes.
We call that the rapture. Again, that's not a Bible word, but it's a word we use. Do you know what's going to happen when God removes the church from this world? Read the book of the Revelation. That's all those bad things we read about. He will pour out His wrath upon the world because there's no more treasure here. So, child of God, you are so important to this world. You're so important to this world. You're important to your family. You're important to the people around you. God may be sparing your community right now because of you. And He has treasure everywhere, doesn't He?
Yeah.
God has treasure all over the world, but it's important that we take our responsibility. Now, last then application I want to make is, so here's then my question. I know where God's heart is because I know where His treasure is. Can I ask you, where's your heart? Check that. Can I ask you where your treasure is? Can I ask you where your treasure is? Where is your investment? Because God said you can only love what you invest in. You can only truly love your family if you invest in your family. You can only truly love your church if you invest in your church. But far more important, and I don't just mean money, although that's part of it. Hey, look, it your shoes are all tied. Eyes up. Everybody's like, oh, okay. Come on.
Get real.
Come on. Where is your treasure? I can tell you where my treasure is. My treasure is where I spend my time and where I spend my money. I think it's basically that simple. Where I spend my time and where I spend my money, and I'm kind of pretty sure that's where your treasure is also. You know, we... I think people, you know, you say, oh, I love Jesus. But do you? Herman, Joanna, old song, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But I only invest in myself. Wait, that's a lie if we don't invest in Him. That's a lie if we're not investing in the things that God cares about, which is people. You know, God doesn't care about this earth. He can fix this earth with no problem. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean we should be unkind. Don't get me wrong. I don't think you ought to be litter bug. That's not the point. But my point is, God cares about people. He loves the people of this earth because He put His treasure here and because He put you here. But my question is not so much about what God loves. I know what God loves. I know where God's treasure is. I'm asking where my treasure is, because that's what I love. And if you say, I love Jesus, but you don't spend any time at all, you don't spend any time in His kingdom, in reading about Him and studying about Him and in serving other people, that's really what God cares about. You know that, right? God cares about, you know, God is okay. Okay, God has everything He needs. All right, I think He's pretty well set in heaven. You with me? But not everybody here is. God's okay, but not everybody here is. There are, you know why we take care of a funeral meal? Because there's some hurting people, and God loves them so much, and He wants us to come to them at their greatest time of need, and that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to give it everything we got. I'll give it everything I've got to this family. Because God cares about this world, but He doesn't care about this world because the world is good. He cares about the world because He put His treasure here. Where have you put your treasure? That's what I'm asking. I've been asking myself that. We need to go through our bank accounts and see where we put our treasure. We need to go through our time schedules for the week and see where we put our treasure of time. Because God's pretty clear. The only things you really love are the things that you invest in. The world has it wrong. If you're waiting to fall in love with some good cause and then you'll put your treasure there, it's never going to happen. It's just never going to happen. He said, no, what you choose to invest in right now, today, is what you will learn to love. That goes for every couple in the room, and that goes for all of us as a part of the family of God. What are we investing in? Make today the day we change. Not how we feel, but what we do. What we invest in.